Five men of the cloth would meet monthly on the shores of Lake Superior to discuss the matters of God. Matters like His sovereignty and His character, His creation, and of course the matters of sin. After a ride on one of their boats, they would sit for hours on the shore talking about all types of theological issues as some would smoke their pipe and just gnaw on the facts of God. One day after they had taken their boat excursion and arrived on their usual site for discussions, they heard shrieking cries for help from someone in the water. A man had wandered out too far and was falling, trying to return to the shore. Unfortunately, the water was getting the best of him, and he began to sink. And he began to sink fast. And all these holy men, they watched. And they knew he was in distress and maybe going under the water for the third and for the final time. And at this instant, they each had concern for the man. One pastor said, "I will pray that the Holy Spirit will instantly rescue him." A priest reasoned, "I will light two candles for him." The reverend said, "Let's leave it up to God, since he will be predestined by God, whether he lives or dies." And another pastor said, "He doesn't belong to my church, so he's doomed to hell." And the last one said, "Hey, we can't let him die, so let's form a committee and decide how we can save him." At this point, a young man was reading his Bible on the beach, studying the story of the Good Samaritan. And he jumped into action. And with all his strength, he swam out to the water. And with all his energies, he finally got to the man. He grabbed him, and he brought him to shore and saved his life. Amazed by the action of the young men, all the clergy, they just applauded, "Yay, yay, yay!" But then the young man looked at him, exhausted and disgust, and said, "It would have been a lot easier if we could have used your boat." Isn't it just as true that we have some churches so steeped in their traditions, doctrines, and philosophies that those going down in the pool of life for the last time are left to drown? I'm just saying. This isn't always the case, although we're seeing it more and more. But there are people with a heart after God. And there are people that have the love for one another. There are people ready to jump in the lake to save a lost one. I remember some years ago belonging to an organization called the Christian Businessmen's Committee. Does anybody here know that group? Has anybody heard of it? Its vision and mission was to evangelize businessmen by discipling them using a program called Operation Timothy. Operation Timothy was a 52-week process in which one man would sit with another young man who doesn't know Christ and would walk them through the great doctrines of God, the forgiveness of sins, the death on the cross, the blood of Christ. To me, these guys were the mighty men of valor. They were reaching out to those young men in the business world and investing their time to lead them to Christ and walk them through the basics of our faith. Boy, I love those men because they walked me through the basics of my faith. Chuck Fox, who was an ex-Westinghouse executive that lived down the street from me, Chuck Fox is now in his 80s and he's still leading young men to Christ and spending time with them in Operation Timothy. I remember Bill Stevens, who was my Timothy, and he was an ex-executive of a corporation, and also he retired to be a school teacher, and he took time with me to walk me through that whole discipling program. These were businessmen who themselves had been dramatically changed by Christ, and because of that change, they wanted to share it with the world. They all had wonderful stories to tell. about their conversion. They freely shared it. These guys were real men. They weren't afraid to cry, and they were not afraid to share their new walk in Christ. And they were united. Can you imagine? We men, as businessmen, were united. Just united to spread the gospel. Did you know that the 10 years I belonged to this organization, we had very few, if any, arguments about religious affiliations or Bible doctrine? Because all they wanted to do was share with each other how to grow in Christ. That was it. That was it. Bob Sinnerwick, who's a facilities manager of five or six big buildings in Pittsburgh, he was a Catholic. Rob Keenan was a lawyer from a Reformed Presbyterian Church. Boyce Bailey owned his own specialty metals firm. John Strang was part of a clothing store. And others were Methodists and Lutherans and Baptists. And my good friend Kenny Berrickman, who struggled with alcohol, and Christ brought him out of that. And now he's a regional director. Regional director of the Pittsburgh chapter. Ex-Westinghouse manager. So what's a common thread? What made them do that? What was a common thread is that they had a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the core values of CBMC is the preeminence of Christ. Listen to this. This is what they have as a core value. Intimacy with Christ is paramount. That means important. That means number one, priority. And all we do must emanate from our lives in Christ and His life in ours. And they changed the business world of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, it's not primarily bringing people to church, but to live that Christ-like life, to have Christ in us. And in this unity, there are no barriers. No barriers in saving the lost and pulling them out of that death, that pole of life that seems to want to suck them under. And I believe we'll read this in John 17, in which Jesus prays to God specifically for us and the church. This will be the last part of a three-part series on prayer. You got that? Okay. Last part of a three-part series on the prayer of Jesus in John. And here we have Jesus in John 17. Here we have Jesus on his way to the cross, having that last time with the disciples. And he prays to his Father, that Father would glorify him, that would help him go through this agony of the cross. Number two, he prays for his disciples who will be called upon to evangelize the world. And today, for part three, we will study his prayer specifically for us as believers and us as a church. Our scripture reading is from John 17, verses 20 to 26. Please grab your Bibles. If you don't have one, we do have pew Bibles. Just grab a pew Bible and read along with me. Again, John 17, 20 to 26. But before we do that, I want you to turn to your neighbor before you and behind you and say, God loves you and so do I. Why don't you do that? Doesn't that make you happy? Okay. John 17, verses 20 through 26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved me even as you have, that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I petition to you today for your help. How can any one man explain your prayer to the Father? How can any one man explain this immense love that you have for us and what he had for you? How can any one mortal understand that your Father sent you to die for us right here? Help, Lord, to use me in a supernatural way. Dear Lord, just take away from me any semblance that I think I know this stuff, but pour into me yourself so that through me people can see you and know that you had been sent for all of us. And we pray this, Lord. I pray this from the bottom of my heart. Pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. It is an awesome responsibility to take something that Jesus Christ says in a prayer and kind of unpack it to give it to you. So I am praying that the Holy Spirit will lead this message today as we read these verses and kind of digest what they mean. In verse 20:21, number one, we find out that he prayed for church and oneness. I like that. He prayed for the church and oneness. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus is saying that this isn't just for the disciples, that is for all of you. It's for all of you who believe in Him, the believer. Did you ever think that God would pray for you? That's what He's doing here. He's praying for us. I pray for those who will believe in me through the messages of the disciples, through the message of the Word, through this. This is the message that He speaks to us. All those that will believe in me. Isn't that you? Don't you believe in Him? He's praying for us in this prayer. But what's He praying? He's praying that you all will be one in Christ, just as the Father is in Christ. And Christ is in the Father. And what does that mean? He wants us to have oneness together. Oneness in His Spirit. He's praying for spiritual unity for all of us. For all of us believers. For all the churches. And without that union with Christ and the Father, Christians can do nothing. Do you believe that? What happens when you give somebody that's dying you? Will that save him? What will happen if you give somebody Christ that lives in you? And if you don't have Christ living in you, guess what? We have nothing. It's hopeless. We might well be a theologian smoking our pipe in the top peak of some mountain somewhere. And this unity that we have is to be manifested in the way we live. In the way we live. Wouldn't it be great, at least for some of us, if people would see Jesus in us without us really trying? How many would like to do that? That people would see Jesus in us without us really trying? It can happen. When you were young, how many times did your parents say, watch the crowd that you run with? How many here have heard that? You better watch the crowd you run with. And why? Because you run with that crowd, you're going to start doing things like that crowd. My mom would say that all the time. You run with that crowd, you're going to become like that crowd. What if we're in Christ and His Father, and every day we're with Him, and we're listening to Him, and we're studying Him, and we're talking to Him, and we become united in thought. And then we become united in actions. Sometimes we think too much of ourselves, that we want to save the world without having God help us do that. Don't we have that mindset? You run with God, you run with Jesus, guess what? You got something to give. You have a lot to give. And that's what He's praying here. That's what He's praying. Take my heart, take my mind, take the love that I have for you. That will save the lost. It says, for what results are they saying here? So that the world can believe in Jesus who was sent to die for our sins. That's why He wants to change us. That's what we have to give. We give forgiveness because we get forgiveness, don't we? We can give love only because we get the love. Without that, we're nothing. But with that unity, God can use us for mighty, mighty purposes. So like the CBMCers say, so all we do emanates, comes from, is a result from our lives with Christ and His life in ours. Do I hear an amen? Okay. I know we're not Baptists, but amen is good once in a while. Number two, He prayed that the church would be glorified. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one, I and them and You and Me. And this is how we get glory from the Son that was sent to us. Glory, as I said, before, is awesome honor and respect and high standing. I think more than anything, glory is a manifested presence of God in our lives. The manifested presence of God in our lives. That we may be one and think like the Father and think like the Son and be glorified by that. Not because we want the glory, because He gives us that glory. And somebody would say, you know what, that's God. There's something that's God that I really like. I respect Him. Maybe that's Jesus. There's something John is doing that. He's not like the other guys. I'll honor and respect him. Maybe that's Jesus in his life. Jameson Robert Fawcett's commentary says this: it is not future glory of the heavenly state, but that secret of that present unity, the glory therefore of the indwelling Spirit of Christ. The glory of an accepted state, of a holy character, of every grace. It's that glory of allowing ourselves to be used by that Holy Spirit. Something we didn't deserve. It's that accepted state that no matter what we've done in the past, He still accepts us. And He still wants us to be sons to Him and heirs to the throne. That's the glory. That freedom that He's given us by dying on the cross. That's the glory. Giving us a holy character when we can't muster it up. We can't make ourselves holy. But He can too. That's the glory that He gives to us. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit and His manifested presence in us. Wow! That is something. That's something we don't deserve, but that is something. Can you imagine walking with the manifested presence of Christ in us? walking boldly, not proudly, but boldly in who He made us to be and what purpose He has for our lives. Number three, He prayed for unity based on love. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Father, I want those who You have given Me to be with Me where I am and see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You loved Me before the creation of the world. Here Jesus prays for a common identity in Him and the Father. He wants complete unity. Does He want partial unity? Are we effective if we're partially united in Christ? No. He wants complete unity in Him. So that the whole world would know that God sent Jesus because He loved us. As God had loved Jesus, His only begotten Son. This whole cross thing was all about love. This whole cross thing was all about God saying, they've separated themselves from Me. We need atonement. We need justice. We need righteousness. And the only way to do it, because man can't atone for his sin, is for Me to send My Son. And the Son saying, yes, Dad, I'm going to do it. Yes. Because I love You, Dad. And God says, I love You, Son. And off they go. Wow, we as believers need to be united and understand that God loved us so much. And this is the unity of love that Jesus was praying for, knowing that there was love from the Son to the Father and the Father to the Son. And it was demonstrated on the cross by Jesus willingly going to the cross. But look here, this is exciting. Look at the next verse. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory. What a great prayer. Do you know what He's praying for? He's praying that we will be with Him in heaven. How does that make you feel? Does God answer prayer? Do you think God would answer Jesus' prayer? Wow! That's what this is saying. I love it. What this is saying is, I want those You've given Me to be where I'm at. And to share My glory. Isn't that great? We'll be there on the right hand side of God, sharing in His glory. Seeing the angels saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. I don't know about you, but that makes me hot. That makes me want to say, ta-dum. Come on, let's say it. Ta-da! The glory You have given Me because You love Me before the creation of the world. Jesus just didn't appear. Jesus was there before the creation of the world. And He was glorified long before the cross. And He has a place waiting for all of us. Here's how He concluded this prayer. Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You, and they know that You have sent Me. I have made You known to them and will continue to make You known in order that the love You have for Me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So Jesus concludes the prayer reminding all of us about the righteousness of God, the right standing of God. It was because His righteousness, again, this is important for you to know, it's because of His righteousness that He sent His Son to die for us. Because no man could do it. But there had to be justice. There had to be justice for our sin. And that's the righteousness of God. The world doesn't get this, do they? They don't understand who this God is. They have a wrong impression of God. You know, this is a vengeful God. This is a God of retaliation. This is a God that says if we sin, bam! He steps on us. That's a wrong impression. And what this is saying, that because of the cross, people will know the nature of God. And people will know why Jesus was sent. They will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God the Father sent Him. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know, Jesus was sent here fully man and fully God. And in this way, Jesus made the Father known. And he always said that in John. I do nothing unless my Father tells me. You want to see the Father? Look at me. That's what he said. And I like it. Whether we're involved or not, it says here, and he will continue to make God known in his ultimate death and resurrection. Basically, that's what he says. I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them. He will continue to dwell in the believer through the manifestation of himself and the Holy Spirit that resides in us. And this is a great secret to Christian living, says David Gusey. That Jesus and his love is indwelling in us as believers. You got to like that. And this is it, the last prayer before Jesus was arrested. And it goes on in 18:1-2. And when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciple. At that point, he was betrayed. He was arrested. He was handed over to trial. He was beaten and then crucified on the cross the next day. And isn't it interesting that the last words of his prayer was for us, that we would believe, that we would share in unity of who he is and his life in us. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for us as individuals or Grace Christian Fellowship Church? It means what? It means God wants us to be one in him. David Gusick says one doesn't mean conformity or uniformity or institutional unity among believers, but a personal dynamic unity among us in love of who he is. To me, unity means oneness of the heart towards the Father and the Son. You have oneness of the heart to the Father, to the Son, you're able to give something out. I always do say that you got to look at the cross constantly with our relationship, because as you establish our vertical, guess what happens to our horizontal? We have something to give. We establish our vertical, we have something to give in our horizontal. And today we are aware that the Protestant community has many beliefs and practices which have caused dissension, division, and isolation within the body of Christ. Meanwhile, the lost world remains lost. And the lack of unity ends up with the lack of hearts wanting to change lives for Jesus. A man was shipwrecked on a deserted island for several years. When finally he was rescued, those who found him were amazed by his survival skills. He had constructed several buildings on the island, to include two churches. This puzzled the rescuers, and they asked why two churches, since he was the only person there. He answered, pointing, "That's the one I pray in, and that's the one I wouldn't step foot in." But you know, our differences don't have to divide us. Augustine wrote a role that should guide our relationship with other believers. In essentials, unity. In not essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. In essentials, that Jesus Christ was born of a Virgin Mary, died under Pontius Pilate, was dead, buried, and raised. That is essential. That he died and rose again. That we are the universal church of the body of Christ. That's essential. The forgiveness of sin, that is essential. The Trinity, knowing God created, that is essential. You know, the other stuff, we give people liberty. We give people liberty on the other stuff. Predestination, eternal security, we give people liberty on that. But in all things, we give grace and charity. Don't you like that? In all things, we give grace and charity. Number two, God wants us to be united in his love. The song says they will know we are Christians by our love. And the question is, what will people see in us? pretty sobering, isn't it? Do you know that the number one reason most ministries fail is not persecution from the outside, not hardships, not lack of funds? It is a failure to get along with one another. It's also the number one reason people leave churches. Isn't that something? That's sobering too, isn't it? God wants His unceasing, unconditional love for us to emanate into our love for one another. And it is that unity which will change lives and convince people that Christ is real. That's what will convince people that Christ is real. Isn't it great that Christ continues to pray this prayer for us? That's so that the world will know Him, know that He was sent because of us. That's sobering too, isn't it? But let me tell you this. With or without us, Jesus will continue to make Himself known. Even the rocks will cry out His name. With or without us, He will make His presence to the lost known through the Holy Spirit. But what do we miss? We miss the glory and the honor of participating in that. That's what we miss. He can use us to show others who He is and to love them into salvation. That is, if we are indeed one in Him, and that we wait here as believers. I mean, that we are united as believers. We're one in Him and united as believers. Let's go to the next cartoon, and let's not be like this. How many times do I have to tell you to love your neighbor as yourself? I guess when you hate yourself, that's what happens, huh? And I used this next slide last week, but I love it so much. I got to do it again because some of you didn't get it. And all the apostles were no longer in one accord. Now, I just explained to you, that's a Honda Accord. Uh-huh. You get it? Okay. So the question is, do you want Jesus' prayer answered through you? Are you ready to be one in Him so that through you the world believes that God sent His Son to die for them? Are you ready to be united in His love in order that the love God has for His Son may be in you and in this church? And lastly, do you want to be a part of this great adventure to be used to save that person in Lake Superior? To save that person that's going down for the third time? To save your neighbor? To save your friends? And to save your family? In this church, I would love to adopt the same core value as CBMC. And again, that our personal intimacy with Christ is paramount. And all we do must emanate from our lives in Christ and His life in ours. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You. Gosh, sometimes we do such a poor job of this Christianity stuff. Lord, we just pray that You would draw us closer. That we will study You in such a way that the way we act and the way we talk is nothing but You. Help us, Lord, to be used mightily for the kingdom, to show those the true nature of God and that He sent You to die on the cross for us, out of His love for us, to give us forgiveness for us, give us a new life to start all over again. Help us be united in the body of Christ. Help us be united here in love. As Grace Christian Fellowship Church. Dear Heavenly Father, I know there's maybe some here that don't know You, and this is Your time, Lord, to check their hearts and to bring Your Holy Spirit upon them for their lives to change and for them to run to You. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask any of you that don't have a life in Christ that maybe today's the day. Maybe your perspective of who this God is has changed today to know this is a loving God. This is the loving Son that was sent for us. Such a change in your life could happen, just like the change in all of our lives. And maybe you want to become a believer and know that God has a plan for you and wants to change you in a mighty way and use you for the kingdom. For those that don't know Christ, the prayer goes like this: Dear Lord, I repent of my sins. I understand how nasty they are, and I want to run from those. And Lord, I want you. I repent and I come to you as my Lord, my Savior. And I want you into my heart, just as you say in this prayer. I want this prayer answered in my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask this question. If you have said this prayer for the first time, I'd like to know so I can pray for you. Just want you to raise your hand. Put your hand up and right back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Put your arm up. Thank you. And right back down. Dear Heavenly Father, help Grace Christian Fellowship Church always be united in love. Help us to solve our differences and know that our primary focus is on you, so that as a unit, as a body of believers, that we can be used to make a difference. And we pray this in Jesus' name.